Jesus, we pray that You would be exalted in this service, in our lives each and every day. Father, I pray that You take control now of every heart in here. Lord, may we receive Your Word with an open heart, with an open mind this morning. Anywhere we need to make changes, Lord, anywhere where there needs to be conviction, may we receive that. May we repent and turn back to You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Just waiting for the little ones to go back. So last week I talked about God's love for us. How much God loves us, how important that is to know. This week, as I was thinking about how much God loves us, and sometimes in relationships, when you love somebody and they love you and they know, and you know that they love you, you can kind of begin to take them for granted. Okay? And that's true in marriage, that's true in friendships, that, you know, it's like, if you've been married a long time, you can begin to take someone for granted. You've had friends for a long time, you can begin to take them for granted. And so this morning, what I want to talk to you, last week I talked to you about how much God loves you, and this morning I want to talk to you about the importance of us maintaining that relationship and not drifting away from God. Because that happens so often that in relationships, in the worldly sense, in relationships, it happens, and it can also happen with us in our relationship with God. And I'm going to read a few verses. If you want to flip in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, we'll be there in a few minutes. But Hebrews 2:1 says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Paying careful attention so that we do not drift away. You know, Crystal's in the nursery, so I can not get in trouble this morning for stuff, but I was bad this year for our anniversary. I didn't even get Crystal a card. That's terrible, isn't it? And I was having my surgery about that time, and just one thing after another, and things weren't going. We were having a lot going on in our life, and, you know, after I recovered from my surgery and was getting back on track, and, you know, a week or two later, and she said, you know, you didn't even get me a card this year. I did get her a gift, but I didn't get her a card. And her gifts are her ordering what she wants, you know, because I'm not very good at picking out stuff. So I did get her a gift, but I didn't get her a card. But before she even said anything, I was kind of mad at myself, like, don't take your wife for granted, you know, because when you've been married a long time, you do that. You just begin to take people for granted. And so, this verse, we must pay careful attention. We must pay careful attention to what we've heard. We must be paying very careful attention to the Word of God so that we do not drift away. Because if you've been a Christian for years and years and years, or even just a few months, we can begin to drift in our thoughts. We can begin to drift in our love and in our drive, and we can begin to just drift away before we even realize it. And we're so far away from God. Are any of you feeling like you're drifting through life this morning? Like life's just kind of going on and you're just kind of going with the flow? Maybe you're even drifting from God this morning. You don't really want to. You love God. I don't. I love my wife. I love her more today than when we first got married. But I'm drifting a little bit because I neglected to get her that card for our anniversary. You have to be so careful that we don't take God for granted. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking of some warning signs that we might be drifting in our walk with God. And when we have no desire to be in fellowship with other believers, You know, sometimes in my walk with God and I've blown it and I've been in sin, I've been in rebellion in my heart. And one of the quickest things that I see is I don't want to be around somebody that's on fire for God. They make me uncomfortable. you don't want to see how excited they are about the Lord when you know you've got sin, you've got something in your heart hindering you. And I think sometimes it's a warning sign for us that if we're not really wanting to be in fellowship with other believers, maybe we need to check. Maybe we need to be careful and see where our walk is. If we take no pleasure in God's Word anymore, and looking through Nona Little's Bible this week as preparing for her funeral service yesterday, and some of the things that she wrote, I was just blown away at her thought, at her, you can tell her meditation on God's Word, and it's like, wow, the way that she just dove in, and I don't know when the writings were from, I don't know when the notes were from, but it almost convicted me, like, man, Pete, you need to get it together. You need to start studying the Word the way that she did. You could just tell it in her writings. Am I drifting? Is it a warning sign that I'm not taking pleasure in God's Word? Another warning sign is no desire to serve God. No desire to serve. In our society today, we live in such a self-centered society that it's easy to not serve. It's easy to think about ourselves and our needs, our wants, our desires. But to me, that's a warning sign when I don't really want to serve anymore that something might be wrong with my relationship with God. My lack of prayer. Prayer is something that... to go into a prayer closet and to spend a lot of time in prayer is almost non-existent for me. I'm just going to be honest. But I do talk to God all day. And I try to listen to God but days that I get busy, and there's some days I'm so busy that I'm just going, and I realize I really hadn't even prayed. I really hadn't even thought about God, and the something will happen, and I'll begin to pray. I'll need protection. I'll be having a difficult spot that I'm delivering into, and I'm like, Lord, help me not to hit anything. Help me not to hit anybody, or whatever. And I'll pray. Oh, all at once when I need something, I'm praying. But what about just the relationship? We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Church, I want you to think about your lives this morning. Are you drifting? Are you drifting through life? Are you drifting away from the Lord? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. So what I'm saying this morning is that we need to examine ourselves to see the fruit that I'm bearing, to see if I'm drifting or not, because I can't answer it for you. I can't look at you guys right now and say, they're strong, they're weak, they're drifting, they're right where they should be. Only you can answer that for yourself. And I think it's time, and I know I preach about this a lot, examining ourselves, but it's so important. It's so important that we're looking at our lives, that we're examining ourselves. What kind of fruit am I bearing? How am I living my life? Now we're to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And it says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. I don't know. We're not supposed to be judging, right? We're not to judge others. But, if we really get into the Bible, it says we are to judge those of the brotherhood. But that's not the message this morning, because what I want to talk about is judging ourselves. But a few months ago, I was sitting by some ladies. I was in close proximity to them. And it was all I could do to not stand up turn around and ask them to just please shut their mouth. Because they were bad mouthing. The whole time I was at this function, they were bad mouthing this person, they were bad mouthing that person, they was bad mouthing this speaker, and they were bad. And it was like, I couldn't even hardly hear because it was driving me crazy, because all I heard was bad mouthing coming from them. And they're both Christians. Y'all, this says for false prophets, but I'm asking you, are we walking around in sheep's clothing, but inwardly we're ferocious wolves, we're ready to attack, we're ready to pounce? Inwardly, are we bad mouthing? Do we have that jealous spirit? What's really going on the inside? I don't know what's going on with you, but I know what's going on with me, and I need to examine myself. Verse 16 says, by their fruit you will recognize them. See, I ought to know who you are, what's important to you, the life that you're living, how's your relationship with God, whether you're drifting or not, by the fruit that you're bearing. And see, we can talk a good talk, but when it comes down to it, examine yourself, what fruit is coming out of your life. See, I can say I'm an apple tree all I want, but if I never produce an apple, I'm no good. You can say that you're a Christian all you want, but until that fruit is coming out and it's that good fruit, you're deceiving yourselves. By your fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So what kind of fruit are you bearing? What is really coming out in your life? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Are we drifting this morning? Are we coasting through life? Are we producing bad fruit, but we're saying our walk with God's okay? We're saying everything's fine. Are we careful? Are we paying careful attention to what's coming out of us, the life that we're living? I've shared this story with y'all before, but I've been here long enough. I'm just going to repeat some stories, and y'all's just going to have to bear with it. But I never will forget, and I've told y'all that one time when I was at work, and I was holding up this pallet, and another guy was coming in with a forklift, and he was trying to squeeze it in, and all at once my arm got pinned and sucked between two pallets. And the word that came out of my mouth should not have come out of my mouth. And the guy driving the forklift was laughing so hard he fell off the forklift. And he said, Pete, I've never heard you say such a word. I can't believe you said that. And this has been 17, 18 years ago. It wasn't just recent. But I'm not saying I'm not above that. But it made me think, why did that come out of my mouth? What's going on inside of me that word came out in a moment of tense and pain and in a moment that I had no control? Why did that come out of my mouth? Apparently, I had some bad fruit in me. And when I was pressed, that's what came out. See, in reality, y'all, I can say I'm a preacher. I can say I'm a believer. But I'll be judged, and I should be examined by the fruit that I'm bearing, not by just what I say. Are we paying careful attention to our lives? Galatians 6:4 says, each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. See, testing my own actions. We like to compare our lives. Well, I'm better than this person, or I didn't do that, or I'd never do this. And we compare our fruit by the other people's fruit. And it says here, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to anyone else. And what else I'm bad about is I'm even bad about comparing myself to other people bearing good fruit. Why don't I have the scriptures memorized like they do? Why don't I pray like that person? And we got to be careful because it can be a trap either way, comparing to the really good or the really bad. And knowing that I should test my own actions and know where I'm at without looking at y'all. But what has God called me to do? What has God asked me to do? Let's go to John chapter 15. John 15, verse 4. I brought the big cup today. John 15:4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Y'all see that I can test myself, I can judge myself, I can examine myself. But in reality, the way that I'm bearing fruit is not by self-will, it's not by how good I am, but it's about remaining in the Father. See, that's the whole thing, is that I can't bear good fruit on my own. It's only when I'm plugged into the Father. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you, a man, remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So there we are again. Pay careful attention. The first verse I began with, pay careful attention, therefore, so that you do not drift away. We can judge if we're drifting by the fruit that we're bearing, because when we're plugged into the Father, it says we're going to bear much fruit. But apart from Him, we can do nothing. So we can examine our lives. Are we drifting away because we're not bearing that good fruit? If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, you hear that? His word remains in you. You wonder, why am I drifting? Why am I falling away? Why am I not bearing good fruit? Maybe part of the problem is God's word's not in you. Maybe you're not reading God's Word. That was one of the warning signs that I seen, that we take no pleasure in God's Word anymore. We're drifting. We're falling away. If you remain in me and my Word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, have you been walking with God a long time and the fruit's not really fresh anymore? We used to have these Bradford pear trees in our backyard, and I never messed with them. And those pears, after they hung there for so long, they just fall onto the ground and they'd rot. I think it was Bradford pear trees. These pears would fall on the ground and they'd rot. And the red wasps love them. They'd swarm them. But what was the problem? Problem was is I wouldn't pick them. I wasn't tending to them. They just sat there. Any fruit that just sits and is not used, eventually it rots, doesn't it? Crystal got after me the other day. I'm about the only one in the house that eats apples. And she's like, you're not eating your apples. They're ruining. They sit there long enough and they're going to ruin. They're not any good. We got to throw them out. How long have you been walking with God? Have you been walking with God so long now that the fruit that you once had, that was once fresh, that was once being produced in you, now you're just like, yeah, and you're just going through the motions of life, and you're just drifting through, and it's no longer good fruit anymore? Does that make sense to anyone? See, sometimes in life you can just go along and go along and go along, and if you're not careful, them apples are going to rot. God wants us producing much fruit so that we are show ourselves to be His disciples. How is your walk with God? Are we bearing fruit or are we drifting away? How easily can we begin to drift and become disconnected from the vine, a storm in our life. Have we had some rain lately or what? And all in my yard, there's these little branches. And you know what? They're dying because they're not connected anymore. They're not connected to the tree anymore. And that's how it is with God. If we're not connected anymore, if a storm in our life has caused us disconnection, whether it's a job loss or a family member that's sick or we're just, You know, sometimes a blessing can cause us to become disconnected. Sometimes, you know, you can get a promotion at work. You can get a new job. You can get a new toy. And that blessing can become a disconnect. Because we're more worried about the blessing now instead of the Father. Little acts of disobedience. You know how much little acts of disobedience can cause us to fall away? To drift? We're going to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 9, and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 13, and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 15. So if you guys want to flip there, you're welcome to. If not, you can listen. But 1 Samuel 9, verse 21, Saul answered, "But am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel, and is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?" Okay, I want to talk about Saul here because we're about to talk about Saul's disobedience. But you see how Saul started out as very humble. I'm from the smallest tribe. He's about to be chosen to become king, and he's very humble and very reluctant. Are you sure you know what you're talking about here? Are you talking about me? And I think sometimes that's the way we begin with our walk with God is, "God, I'm so undeserving. God, I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your mercy." And that's the way we should start off. "God, thank you for the gift that you've given your son." Saul started off that way. Go over to chapter 13. And it's just little things, little acts of disobedience. Saul 13:1. Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. He'd been king for a long time, 42 years. And sometimes with God, some of you, maybe you've walked with God for 42 years. And sometimes when we're walking with God, and it just kind of becomes a common thing. Jump down to verse 7. 13:7. It says, "Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear." Fear can cause us to do all kinds of things. Fear of what's going to happen. Fear of what our eyes see instead of trusting in what the Lord's saying. And it can cause us to drift. It can cause us to take those steps of disobedience when we begin to question God. "He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter." You know, sometimes with our lives, you guys don't fall asleep, okay? Tim said this morning when he woke up, he was already looking forward to his nap, and I feel the same way. I'm tired, okay? But I want y'all to get this, okay? See, his men began to scatter. Sometimes in life, things don't make sense. And the people we love begin to scatter. The people that we count on begin to scatter. And we can begin to walk in fear. And if we're not careful, if they're walking in disobedience, we're going to follow right along with them because they're scattering. Then maybe we need to scatter too. Verse 9, "So he said, 'Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offering.' And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived and Saul went out to greet him." Saul was not supposed to do that. But the fear. Verse 11, "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling in Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. What did he do there? He tried to put the blame on Samuel. You didn't come when you were supposed to. He wouldn't take responsibility for his own actions. And then they were assembling, and the men were scared, and so I wanted God's blessing. But we'll never get God's blessing walking out of disobedience. Even with the fear, even with everything else, the drifting. And before long, we're going to drift so far that we're walking in disobedience and we think we're doing the right thing. He thought he was doing the right thing. Verse 13, you acted foolishly, Samuel. You have not kept the commands the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. He said you acted foolishly. And God's looking for someone who's after his heart. God's looking for you this morning to be a people that's seeking Him with all your heart. To not let circumstances cause you to drift. To not let walking with God for years, 42 years, to think that you know God to the point that you don't have to listen. That you don't have to walk in obedience anymore. Chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over His people Israel, so listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them, put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. He was given specific instructions. What was he supposed to do? Drifting, little acts of disobedience. Jump down to verse 7. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. Right there, little acts of disobedience. He took the king alive. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep, and cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. You know, drifting in your life, you begin to make excuses and you begin to put things in your mind. Hey, the good cattle, the good sheep, there's nothing wrong with them. Why would I want to destroy them? And sometimes in our life when God asks us to do things that don't make sense and we justify it and we say, but God, this really isn't bad. This really isn't no big deal. You know, in Sunday school this morning we was talking about the importance of the fellowship, the importance of being here and how much it affects us by not being in the fellowship with one another, and how we've seen people over the years that have fallen away and fallen away, and it usually begins when they start skipping church. And you say, oh, it really isn't that big a deal. It really isn't that big a deal. It's a big deal when God tells you to do something and you don't follow it completely and wholeheartedly. The Bible says, the Word of God says, do not forsake the fellowship. It's a big deal for you to not be here. It's a big deal for Saul not following the instructions completely. Then the word, verse 10, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. He was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor, and his turn has gone down and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. Can I tell you, church, when we begin to drift, we can't even see clearly the own sin in our lives. What did I read? Examine yourself, examine yourself, examine yourself, but examine yourself to the Word of God. not examining yourself compared to others. We read that also. I don't need to look at everyone else, because sometimes our minds can be so far from God that we're saying, I'm doing right. I'm doing right. Samuel come to confront him, and Saul says, I've done it. I did what I needed to do. I carried out the Lord's instructions. Church, that's powerful. That's powerful to me, because we can get so blinded in our sin that we think we're on the right path. He thought he'd done what he was supposed to do. Verse 14, but Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. So who was he casting the blame on now? It's the soldiers that brought it. Not me, it was the soldiers. Verse 16, stop. Stop, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the God? Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. See, church, we can drift so far from God, and we justify our actions, and we justify our walk, and we justify, well, I just did this little bit of disobedience, or then we get to the point that we don't even see. It's a scary place to be. That self-righteousness that I've done no wrong. I've done no wrong. I'm good. Verse 20, but I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the sheep and the cattle from the plunder, the best of which we devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and in sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? You know, when you're drifting through life, drifting, when I think of drifting, I think of getting further and further and further. And sometimes we're drifting so much in life that we can no longer hear the voice of God, because we've gone so far. And here he says, it's not the sacrifice, it's obeying the voice. It's in hearing God. It's in knowing God's voice. And then it's to obey. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's commandments and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive me, forgive my sins, and come back with me so that I might worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. Church, that's kind of hard there to read. And you might be in your life right now where you've rejected God, where you've been walking in disobedience. You know, last week I talked so much about God's love and how much God loves you, and the patience of God means salvation for all of us. And the Bible says that if we do sin, that we have an advocate before the Father. And so I want to stress that to you about God's love, and that if we do sin, Jesus is there. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here, he got to a point, enough's enough. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to get to a point in my life that God's saying, enough's enough, Pete. You keep walking in disobedience. I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you. Enough's enough. Your heart's become hard now. He continued to walk in disobedience. Said he built an altar to himself. You guys might not physically build an altar to yourself, but your life reflects that you are the most important thing to you. Not serving, not seeking God, not living for the Lord. It's what I want. It's what I desire. The danger of drifting, that it will take you further than you ever wanted to go. And before long, you could be just like Saul here, that you say, but I did do what's right. And God's saying, no, you didn't. You're not even hearing my voice correctly now. You're not even listening. How many times did he say, but I did do, or it was their fault, or it was the soldier's fault? The drifting and the little steps of disobedience, how far it can take you away from God. We're going to end, though, with Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 9, is where we're going to read, 9 through 16. And if your mind's been drifting on what I've said this morning, then tune back in for these few verses here, okay? Because if you have been drifting, this is how you can recover. This is how you can come back, okay? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. If you're wondering with your life, you've been drifting and things are just a mess and you feel distant from God, right here, live according to His Word. Verse 10, I seek you with all my heart and do not let me stray from your commands. Where's your heart at? Is your heart drifting towards the things of this world, to the things that you think will satisfy you now and not the Lord? Seek Him with all your heart and do not stray from the commands of this word. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, one of the things with drifting is that if we've got God's word in our heart and the Holy Spirit is functioning in us, then the Holy Spirit sends out a warning signal when you begin to do wrong, when you begin to walk away. I've had some struggles this week, and it's like I could feel the Holy Spirit, and it's almost like one of them air horns that they blow at the football games going off in my spirit. Pete, stop! You better get yourself in check real quick. Bah, 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 that air horn going off. And sometimes, I'm not going to lie to you, I've rejected that air horn, and I've walked in disobedience. But God help me, I don't want to do it anymore. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you're drifting, begin to read God's word even when it doesn't seem good, even when it doesn't seem like you want to. You do it. Just like the fellowship here. Even when you've heard all my stories, even when it seems boring, we need each other. Verse 12, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that have come from your mouth. See, I think there's something about when we speak God's word. There's power in God's word. The power of life and death is in our tongues. And he says, when I recount your laws, with my lips, speaking God's word. Speaking God's word over your children. Speaking God's word over your life. Speaking God's word over our church. Over me. Verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. See, if you're drifting, that doesn't sound very good. I mean, how many of you right now, if I said you could win the lottery, you wouldn't be like excited and happy? Yeah, I'll take millions. But he's saying to rejoice in God's word is even greater, that that's what we should be doing. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect your word. If you've been drifting this morning, if your heart feels like you're far from God, examine yourself. Right now, begin to examine yourself. Just go ahead and bow your heads and examine yourself. Father, help me this morning. Lord, I've not been bearing the fruit that I need to be bearing. I've not been living the life that I need to live. Psalms 139, and we're ending. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Father, I pray right now. Lord, I pray that each one of us would examine our own lives. Have we just been drifting? Has our heart grown hard? Lord, is our walk not what it needs to be? Lord, may we find encouragement in Your Word this morning. May we dive into to Your Word, Lord. May we begin to love once again, studying Your Word. May it be like the riches. Lord, may our walk with You be what it needs to be. Right now, I pray that every one of us will be praying, search my heart, Lord. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lord, if there's anything in me right now, Lord, that does not need to be there, may You bring it to mind. May we repent of it. May we turn of it. Lord, I pray for every believer in this room, Lord, that we would grow stronger and stronger. That we would not be kicking back, taking life easy, just drifting along, but that we would be seeking You. Your Word says that we would bear much fruit so that people will know we are Your disciples. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that we would begin to bear much fruit. Lord, Your Word says that lead me in the way of everlasting. I pray right now for each one of us that we would listen to that voice, that You would lead us in the way of everlasting. God, I just pray for encouragement and strength. Lord, as sometimes it just seems like You're so far away, and sometimes it seems like we make the wrong choice after wrong choice. And sometimes, Lord, we don't even want to open up our Bibles. We confess that right now as sin. We repent of that, Lord. And I pray for the hunger and desire to know You, to know Your Word, to know Your precepts, that we might hide Your Word in our heart, that we might not sin against You, Lord. I pray for that hunger in every one of us right now. Lord, from this day forward, this isn't just another sermon. This just isn't another church service. But from this day forward, there would be a new desire. There would be a new fire inside of each one of us. A new desire and a new fire to know You, to hear Your voice, to not walk in disobedience, but to obey. Even when things don't make sense, that we would obey. I pray for encouragement for everyone in here. And that we will remember we walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings, but we walk by faith. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If y'all need prayer for anything this morning, the altars are open. You know, I can take great comfort in this Psalms 139, 23 and 24, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Because when I think about that, and I think about my kids, and I think about when they were little and we'd be crossing a street or we'd be out shopping or something, and I had a hold of their hand, and I would lead them across a busy street, I'd lead them through the crowds because I didn't want them to get lost. I didn't want them to go missing. And sometimes I remember being in places and there was so much crowd or whatever, I wouldn't just grab their hand. I'd pick them up and I'd carry them.
lead me. God wants to lead us this morning. That's good news. When we take hold of His hand, God, lead me in the way of everlasting. He wants to lead you. Let's seek Him with a pure heart so that He can lead us through this life. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Bible study tonight at 6:30.